وبه نستعين. وهو خير موفق ومعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. It is very important, brothers and sisters, to keep the thought of Imam Mahdi alive in our hearts. It is not a small issue. It is not a marginal issue. It is very important. Imam Mahdi, it is our only hope. Imam Mahdi is humankind's only hope. Imam Mahdi is God's only hope. He is Baqiyatullah. Although it is a hope that inshallah it will definitely be realized. It is very important to enliven our hearts with the thought, with the discussions about Imam Mahdi. And by doing supplications to him. One very beneficial supplication, which is du'a-i nutbe. It is not the ziyaratun, it is not the, actually this is usually referred to as du'a-i nutbe, not the, what we know as ziyaratun nutbe in Farsi, which is usually recited on Friday mornings. That's du'a-i nutbe. This is ziyaratun nutbe, which is Ayatollah Khushbakh strongly recommended reading this ziyarat. It's in Bihar al-Anwar, volume 99, page 92. It is a very beautiful supplication, very beautiful ziyarat of Imam Mahdi. It is from Imam Mahdi himself. It is from Imam Mahdi during his Al-Ghaybah al-Sughra. It was gave it, or he uttered it to one of his companions, to one of the Shia at the time. And alhamdulillah, it has come down to us. One passage in this supplication, we address him, and we say, مَنْ لِي إِلَّا أَنْتْ فِي مَا دِنْتُ وَاَعْتَسَمْتُ بِكَ فِيهِ. Who is there for me, other than you, that I can draw near to, and that I can beseech for help, وَاَعْتَسَمْتُ بِهِ تَحْرُسُنِي فِي مَا تَقَرَّبْتُ بِهِ إِلَيْكَ. Who can help me, who can guard me concerning the issues that I, for which I come to you. يَا وِقَايَةَ اللَّهِ وَسِتْرَهُ وَبَرَكَتَهُ. Oh, the wiqaya of God, the protection of God, the veil of God, the blessing of God. So Imam Mahdi is our only hope. In the month of Muharram is the month we were mainly dedicated to the remembrance of Walaya. And so it's very, I think, appropriate to talk about Imam Mahdi. And it is for this reason that I chose to talk about this topic at least for a few nights. Let's see how it unfolds and where it goes, inshallah ta'ala. In my first speech, and I must apologize for last night, for not being able to show up. Although, alhamdulillah, you benefited from Mawlana Sayyid Sahib's speech, and I'm sure it was more beneficial than what I can say. So, tonight I'm actually depriving you of his speech, but anyways, because it was my duty to be here, I apologize for not being here last night. In my first speech, I opened my discussion of Imam Mahdi about the benefits that we may derive from him during his absence. I categorized the benefits or the functions of تدي خليفة الله and the ولي الله الولاية التكوينية and الولاية التشريعية and then I talked a little about الهداية الباطنية and how that is a very important function of the خليفة الله and it's something between الولاية التكوينية and الولاية التشريعية and then I concluded by commenting that the two benefits that we derive in the absence of the imam, which are very crucial, one is al-wilaya tikwiniya, which if it weren't there, the cosmos would not hold, and the other is al-hidayah al-batiniya. I gave examples, and I'm not going to enter into the details, inshallah. Those who are interested may refer to that speech. Please recite a salawat. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to go into a little background, historical background, leading up to the birth of Imam Mahdi, to very briefly consider the circumstances surrounding the birth of Imam Mahdi, and what led to his occultation, inshallah ta'ala. A very critical juncture in the history of the Ahlul Bayt, and I talked about this a little in my previous speeches at Al-Mahdi, a very critical juncture was when the Bani Umayyah lost power to Bani Abbas. This was a very critical juncture in the history of the Ahlul Bayt, and it started a new period. And the activities of the Ahlul Bayt changed, and they had to adjust to the new circumstances. Because Bani al-Abbas, were to some extent intertwined with the political activities of the Ashab and companions of the Ahlul Bayt, they were much more aware of the activities of the Ahlul Bayt, of the secretive activities of the Ahlul Bayt. And so, in one sense, they were more effective in trying to counter the political activities of the Ahlul Bayt. And therefore, what we notice from the time of Imam Sadiq onwards is that you see that taqiyyah becomes ever more important in the life of the Ahlul Bayt. Bani al-Abbas tried to keep a very close watch on the Ahlul Bayt from the time of Imam Sadiq. You can really tell the difference between the time of Imam Sadiq and the previous imams after the Bani al-Abbas took power. There is one account, if you refer to Bab al-Taqiyyah of Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr, in the book of Usul al-Kafi, there is an interesting account of, regarding the time of Imam Sadiq, where the Imam is walking on the street, and then there is this, one of his ashab is walking by, and he, instead of saying salam, instead of giving his greetings to the Imam, he turns his face, and without noticing, the Imam passes by. Without acknowledging or without saying salam to the Imam passes by. And then that same night, this same companion goes to Imam Sadiq and says, "Oh, Imam, I'm really sorry for not saying salam." Right? Imam says, no, you did the right thing. You shouldn't have said salam. So-and-so person, he said salam to me. He did the wrong thing. That's how effective the spy system of the Bani al-Abbas was. That the Ashab, the companions of the Ahlul Bayt, they couldn't even say, on certain occasions, they couldn't even say salam to their imams. They were passing by the imam, they couldn't say salam to them. Just saying salam was equal to persecution. Would entail persecution. So that's how severe it became after the Bani al-Abbas took power. And then with Imam Musa al-Kadhim, it became even worse. I'm sure you've all heard of the many, many years he spent in jail. And finally he was martyred in jail. And then Imam Rida, Ma'mun tried to be a little smarter than his predecessors. So instead of being really severe, he tried to bring Imam, or associate Imam Rida with the Bani al-Abbas. And by this way, while keeping a close watch on him, at the same time try to deprive Imam Rida from the sanctity that was associated with the Imams. Okay, that's the tactic that Ma'mun tried to pursue. And after that wasn't successful, because you know Imam Rida, Makaru wa Makar Allah, Imam Rida using his innate knowledge, his innate divine knowledge, he, with his very clever tactics, he was able to counteract the attempts of Ma'mun. Okay, so in fact, during the time of Imam Rida, we see a surge in the Shia community all around the world. So after Imam Rida was martyred, Ma'mun saw he had no option but to poison Imam Rida. Imam Jawad was only 7 or 8 years old. Since that previous approach had not worked, Ma'mun decided that it was better to go back to the tactic or the approach used by his predecessors. And so what he did was give his daughter, Ma'mun gave his daughter to Imam Jawad as his spouse, Umm al-Fadl, purportedly out of respect, but we all know she was to act as her father's spy. Okay, and there are accounts where it's recorded in history where Umm al-Fadl writes letters to Ma'mun, and then Ma'mun says you have to have patience, and so on and so forth. And toward the end of his life, Imam Jawad, the Khalifa of the time, brought him to Baghdad, and that's where he was finally poisoned and martyred. And then after Imam Jawad, it got even worse. We all know that Imam Hadi and Imam Hassan al-Askari were actually moved to Surra Man Ra'a, to Samarra. Surra Man Ra'a, brothers and sisters, was basically a military base. It was out of Baghdad, it was, and not within Baghdad itself. It was considered one of these suburbs. And the Bani al-Abbas brought their mercenaries, their Turk and Mongol mercenaries, and housed them in the newly founded town of Surra Man Ra'a. So Surra Man Ra'a was a military base. The Bani al-Abbas brought the Imams to this town and pretty much kept them under house arrest. They kept them under house arrest. They were surrounded by the officers and the soldiers of the Bani al-Abbas. Although, and this is very important and shows how effective the Ahlul Bayt were in their attempts and their political activities, although the situation was so bad, and was bad, and the badness cannot be exaggerated, it was extremely severe conditions in Surra Man Ra'a. But the political cleverness of Imam Hadi, and later on Imam Askari, mainly Imam Hadi, because Imam Askari's imama was much shorter, their attempts and their political activities were such that despite the severe circumstances of Surah Man Ra'ah, the Imams were able to establish a Shia network within Surah Man Ra'ah. This is very important. Within Surah Man Ra'ah. So the Bani al-Abbas had brought him to Surah Man Ra'ah to keep him under control, and they were. I mean, they were under close surveillance, but at the same time, they were able, through very, very strong taqiyya, to establish a Shia network within Surah Man Ra'ah itself. Alright, so when we read the riwayat, there's accounts that, like when the Ashab of the Ahlul Bayt, they used to come, they had different techniques for making contact with like Imam Hadi and Imam Askari. Like they used to carry like barrels of oil, and then purportedly to sell oil, you know, as just, you know, as a passing merchant. But underneath the barrels, they had these scrolls or whatever that they wanted to convey to the Imams. Okay, so. And you also encounter cases where the Imams and the Ashab, they would transfer the messages that they wanted to get, that they wanted to communicate in canes. They had canes, and then the middle of the cane was empty. And they would put the message or the letter in the cane, and that's how they would communicate. So very, very clever techniques were used other than the supernatural. We know that they also implemented, employed supernatural means as well. But at the same time, they resorted to clever techniques to try to circumvent the very severe circumstances implemented by the Bani al-Abbas. This is how the situation of Imam Hadi and Imam Hassan al-Askari was. Under very close surveillance, although, like I said, they had their own, you could say, ways of getting by as well, but that doesn't change the fact that they were under very close surveillance. And when you look at the ages that they were martyred, Imam Javad was in his early 20s. When he was martyred. Imam Hadi was in his early 40s when he was martyred. And Imam Hassan al-Askari was in his later 20s when he was martyred. So at very young ages. It was in these circumstances that Imam Mahdi was to come to the world, was to be born. And we all know that Bani al-Abbas, like I said, they had more. They were more aware of the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt because, they were from Banu Hashim, and because of the political, the similar political activities that they had, they were aware of many of the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt, and they had heard about the coming of Imam Mahdi. So the situation was very severe. And brothers and sisters, if Imam Mahdi were to come to this world, just like his forefathers, he wouldn't have lived for long. Right? Some say, like, why couldn't, like, wasn't there any other way that they could do this? Did he have to go into occultation? There was no other way. If he had come to this world without observing or without going into occultation, give or take a few years, he would have been martyred as well. And there would be no Imam. And so occultation was the only way left. Ghaiba was the only way left. And it was in these circumstances that Imam Mahdi came into this world. The situation was such, brothers and sisters, that The mother of Imam Mahdi, she wasn't aware until that very night that Imam Mahdi was born. The mother of Imam Mahdi wasn't aware that she's pregnant. And Imam Al-Hassan Al-Askari hadn't told anyone Not even his spouse, not even his wife. Okay? That's, you can, like, when we read these things, we can tell the severeness of the situation. Like, the spies of Ibn Abbas were so all over the place that he couldn't even tell his spouse, the mother of the 12th Imam, that you were pregnant. And there was no sign that she was pregnant. By the grace of God, by the power of God, there was no sign that she was pregnant. Inshallah, I'm going to read to you the riwayah, pretty extensive riwayah, from Ikmaluddin or Kamaluddin, Shaykh al-Saduq, about the birth of Imam Mahdi and how Imam Mahdi came to this world. It's a very interesting account. I think it doesn't hurt if we read the whole thing, inshallah. Shaykh al-Saduq and his Ikmaluddin narrates from Musa ibn Muhammad ibn al-Qasim ibn Hamza. He's the great-grandson of Imam Ja'far al-Fadhil. He relates this account from Hakima, Sayyida Hakima, the aunt of Imam Hassan al-Askari and the daughter of Imam Javad. قال حدثتني حكيمة بنت محمد بن علي بن موسى بن جعفر قالت بعث إلي أبو محمد الحسن بن علي. One night, Imam Hassan al-Askari sent someone after me to call me to him. فقال يا عمة اجعلي إفطارك الليلة عندنا. Please, tonight come to our place. Let's have dinner together. Have dinner with me. فَإِنَّهَا لَيْلَةُ النِّسْ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ. It is the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى سَيُظْهِرُ فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ الْحُجَّةِ. Tonight, inshaAllah, Mahdi will be born. وَهُوَ حُجَّتُهُ فِي أَرْضِهِ. قَالَتْ فقلت له ومن أمه. She was surprised and she had no advance notice that the child was being born. فقلت له ومن أمه. Who is his mother? قال لي نرجس. Nargis is his mother. It's very interesting to read the account of Nargis, brothers and sisters. You know, Nargis was a convert herself. She was Christian. She comes from a Christian background. She was born in Rome, of course, the greater Roman Empire. We don't know exactly which part of Rome, because all the Roman Empire was called Rome by the Arabs. And this, the account of how Sayyidina Nargis came to Imam Hadi is very interesting. It's related by both Sheikh al-Saduq and also Sheikh al-Saduq and Ikmaluddin, and also Sheikh Tusin is Al-Ghaiba. I think it's one of those accounts that would really resonate with the converts. You know? Coming from a Christian background and the experience she had, Sayyidah Fatima came to her dream and gradually guided her to come to Baghdad, and then Imam Hadi. She was sold as a slave, and Imam Hadi bought her, and then she was given as the spouse to Imam Hassan al-Askari. Very interesting account. It's very, very beautiful, if you would like to read it. Those who understand Farsi, in Muntaha al-Amal of Sheikh Abbas Qumi, Muhaddis Qumi, he has the full account there as well. So she asks, Sayyida Hakima asks Imam Hassan al-Askari, وَمَنْ هُمُّ Who is his mother? قَالَ لِي نَرْجِس. Sayyida Nargis. قُلْتُ لَهُ وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَنِي فِدَكُمْ مَا بِهَا أَثَرٌ. May I be sacrificed for you. She has no sign of being pregnant. فَقَالَ هُوَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكِ. No, it is as I tell you, inshallah. قَالَتْ فَجِئْتُ فَلَمَّا سَلَّمْتُ وَجَلَسْتُ جَاءَتْ تَنْزِعُ خُفِّي. I went to Nargis, and then when I said salam to her and I sat down there, Nargis took my out of respect, took my shoes off, paying her respects. وقالت لي, and she said, يا سيدتي كيف أمسيت؟ How are you tonight? فقلت بل أنت سيدتي وسيدة أهلي. Sayyidah Hakima says, no, you are, I am not your Sayyidah, I am not your lady, you are my lady actually. قالت فأنكرت, she was surprised that Sayyidah Hakima said so. فأنكرت قولي وقالت ما هذا, what are you talking about, oh Hakima, يا عمه. قالت فقلت لها يا بنيتا إن الله تبارك وتعالى سيهب لك في ليلتك هذه غلاما سيدا في الدنيا والآخرة. She had no inkling that she was pregnant. Sayyidah Hakima tells her, tonight the Lord of both worlds will be given to you. Through you, he will come to this world. قالت فجلست واستحيت. She sat down. She was dumbfounded. She didn't know what to say. فلما أن فرغت من صلاة العشاء الآخرة وأفطرت وأخذت مضجعي فرقدت. So Sayyidah Hakima says, I prayed my عشاء and then I had my dinner and then I made my bed and I went to bed. فلما أن كان في جوف الليل قمت إلا الصلاة. In the middle of the night, Sayyidah Hakima says, I woke up for Salatul Layl. The righteous children of the Ahlul Bayt never abandon Salatul Layl. Okay, that's another lesson we can get from this account. We've all heard of the story of how Sayyidah Zainab, after the day of Ashura, that same night, she, although she was in so much pain, she didn't, the pain didn't prohibit her, didn't prevent her from doing her salat al day. That's something we can learn from. فلما كان في جوف الليل قمت إلى الصلاة ففرغت من صلاتي. My salat al day finished وهي نائمة. Sayyida Narjis was still asleep. ليس بها حادث, like nothing was happening, like nothing special was going on. ثم جلست معقبة. Then I waited for some time. ثم اضطجعت. Then I went back to sleep. ثم انتحبت فزعة. Then after a little while, I woke up and afraid that something might have happened in the meantime. وهي راقدة. But she was still asleep. ثم قامت فصلت. Then Sayyida Narjis again, she woke up too and prayed Salatul Bayt. قالت حكيمة فدخلتني الشكوك. At this point, seeing the comfort with which Sayyidina Narjis was sleeping, and then she got up and prayed her Salatul Day, Sayyidina Hakima said, I doubted what Imam Hassan al-Askari had told me. Could actually there be a baby coming to this world? Could she actually be pregnant? Right when the thought went through my mind, فصاحبي أبو محمد للمجلس. Imam Hassan al-Askari, that same moment that I thought of that the doubt came into my head, Imam Hadi, from where he was sitting, said, لا تعجلي, don't rush, have patience. يا عما فإن الأمر قرب, it is near. قالت فقرأت ألف لام ميم السجدة وياسين. She read these two surahs. She read the surahs of ألف لام ميم السجدة and ياسين. فبينما أنا كذلك إذا انتبهت فزعة. While I was reading these two surahs, all of a sudden, Sayyidah Narjis, her mood changed. وهي راقدة. I'm sorry. كذلك إذا انتبهت فزعة. فوثبت إليها. I ran to her. فقلت اسم الله عليك. I said, may God's name come to your help. ثم قلت لها, تحسين شيئا؟ Do you feel anything? قالت نعم يا عمة. Yes, I do feel something. فقلت لها اجمعي نفسك واجمعي قلبك. Be strong, inshallah. فهو ما قلت لك. This is what I had told you, that Imam Hassan al-Asad had said, son is going to be born through you. قالت حكيمة ثم أخذتني فترة وأخذتها فطرة ثم أخذتني فترة وأخذتها فترة. At this point, all of a sudden, I felt dizzy. This is one interpretation of the sentence. And Sayyidina Narjis, her sacred bosom, her sacred stomach opened up, and Imam Mahdi came to this world. فانتبهت بحس سيدي. Right when this happened, I went to see Imam Mahdi. فكشفت الثوب عن. Imam Mahdi was swaddled in a cloth. I took that cloth away. فإذا أنا به عليه السلام ساجدا لتلقى الأرض بمساجده. Imam Mahdi came to this world. He was in the position of sajda. فذممته إلي. I got Imam Mahdi into my embrace. فذممته إلي. فإذا أنا به نظيف من الثف. I saw that he is absolutely clean. None of the blemish, none of the stains of birth that most kids come with. فصاحبي أبو محمد. At this instant, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari said, حلمي إلي. Bring him to me. حلمي إلي ابني يا عم. فجئت به. فوضع يديه تحت اليتاي وظهره. He held Imam Mahdi. ووضع قدميه على صدره. He put Imam Mahdi's feet on his chest. ثم أدلى لسانه في فيه وأمر يده على عيني وسمعه ومفاصله. Then he conveyed the knowledge of Imamah to Imam Mahdi. ثم قال تكلم يا بني. Then he said, oh my son, speak. فقال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله اللهم صل على محمد. He said his shahadatain. ثم صلى على أمير المؤمنين. Then he sent his greetings to أمير المؤمنين وعلى الأئمة إلى أن وقف على أبيه. Until he named all of the Ahlul Bayt, until he got to Imam Hassan al-Askari. ثم أحجم. Then at this point he stopped speaking. قال أبو محمد يا عم اذهبي به إلى أمه. Take him back to his mother. ليسلم عليها. So that he may say salam to his mother. وأتيني به. Then bring him back to me. فذهبت به فسلم عليها ورددته ووضعته في المجلس. He said salam to his mother. Then I brought him back to Imam al-Hasan al-Askari. I put him with Imam Hassan al-Askari. ثم قال يا عم إذا كان يوم السابع فأتينا. After she had accomplished her missions, Imam al-Hasan al-Askari told her, come back to us on the seventh day. قالت حكيمة فلما أصبحت جئت. But she woke up the next day and she couldn't wait. The memory of Imam Mahdi, beauty of Imam Mahdi. She wanted to come back to see Imam Mahdi. فلما أصبحت جئت لأسلم على أبي محمد. I came to say salam to Abi Muhammad, Imam Hassan al-Askari. فكشفت الستر لأفتقد سيدي. The cradle of Imam Mahdi, or where I thought Imam Mahdi would be, I removed it. The cover, فلم أره. Imam Mahdi wasn't there. فقلت لا. I told Imam Hassan al-Askari, جعلت فداك ما فعل سيدي. What happened to Imam Mahdi? فقال يا عم استودعناه الذي استودعته أم موسى. We gave him up to the same, we gave him up to God, just as the mother of Moses gave Moses up to God. So brothers and sisters, many times I'm sure you've heard when the time frame of Ghibat al-Sughra is mentioned, a lot of people, a lot of even scholars, they say it starts from the year 260 when Imam Hassan al-Askari passed away. So they say Ghibat al-Sughra was 69 years. Whereas as this riwayah points out, غيبة الصغرى, الغيبة الصغرى started with the birth of Imam Mahdi. From the very moment of his life, he was in occultation. He was hidden to people. So his al-ghiba al-sughra is 74 years, actually. فَلَمَّا كَانَ فِي الْيَوْمِ السَّابِعِ جِئْتُ وَسَلَّمْتُ وَجَلَسْتُ. When the seventh day came, I came to Imam Hassan al-Ashkari, I sat down, I said, Salam. فَقَالَ هَلُمْ يَلَيَّ إِبْنِي. He said, now go and bring my son. فَجِئْتُ بِالسَّيِّدِ. I brought Imam Mahdi. فِي الْخِرْقَةِ. He was wrapped up in a cloth. فَفَعَلَ بِهِ كَفَعْلَتَهِ الْأُولَى. ثُمَّ أَدْلَى لِسَانَهُ فِي فِيهِ كَأَنَّهُ يُغَذِّيهَا لَبَنًا أَوْ عَسَلًا. After I brought Imam Mahdi to him, to Imam Hassan al-Askari, he repeated the same procedure that he repeated on the first night, conveying the knowledge of Imamah to Imam Mahdi. And then afterward again, he said, قَالَ تَكَلَّمْ يَا بُنَيَّ. Speak. فَقَالَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The same things. He said, Shahada. And then he mentioned Imam Ali, said salam to Imam Ali, sent blessings to Imam Ali. And then he mentioned all the Imams by name until he reached Imam al-Hasan al-Askari. And then after mentioning the name of Imam Hassan al-Askari, he read this verse of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وعمانا وجنودهم ما قاموا يحذرون. He read this verse, which is about the promise of God that this world, that this earth would be given to the righteous people. And the righteous people, as we know, are the Ahlul Bayt. This is the whole account that the Musa relates from Sayyidah Hakima. And then to make sure that Sayyidah Hakima is telling the, because it's such out of the ordinary, that he wanted to make sure. So he went to someone else, the narrator Musa goes to someone else, to one of the servants of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari, and he corroborates the account that Sayyidah Hakima gave. These were the circumstances that Imam Mahdi was born into. There was no other option. I told you the background, how the city of Sodom and Ra'a was, how Ibn al-Abbas, with their numerous spies, kept a close watch on the Ahlul Bayt. And so there was no other way for Imam Mahdi left but to go into occultation. And you know, his occultation started with his birth. And it's interesting how Imam Hassan al-Askari lets his ashab know about the birth of Imam Mahdi. Okay, there only the very, very trusted ashab of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari are brought individually and introduced to Imam Hassan al-Askari. Okay, very secretively. Only towards the end of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari's life, about a month or so left to the martyrdom of Imam Hassan al-Askari, did he invite 40 of his ashab, again very secretively, to his house. And to all the 40 ashab introduced Imam Hassan al-Askari, only about 40 days left to his martyrdom. So basically, until very close to the death of Imam Hassan al-Askari, no one was aware. Not even the Shia. Most of the Shia were unaware of the birth of Imam Mahdi. We pray by the right of Imam Hussein, by the right of Sayyidah Zainab, by the right of Imam Sajjad on this night, on the night preceding the day of Jum'ah, the day of Friday, that inshallah ta'ala, God will hasten the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر، واجعلنا من خير أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه، وهب لنا رأفته ورحمته ودعاءه. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد.